This is Movies for the Blind, episode 14. Here comes Mr. Jordan, part one.
Yeah, and make it snappy.
Hello, and welcome to Movies for the Blind, where you can enjoy films without looking at a screen. I'm Valerie Hunter. Now, when I was a kid, one of the biggest movies out there was Heaven Can Wait, with Warren Beatty as an NFL quarterback who was killed literally before his time, forcing the heavenly powers that be to find him a new body in which to fulfill his destiny. It got a raft of Oscar nominations, though it only won one for art direction, often the destiny of comedies. But the film on which it is based fared better in its day, winning two Oscars for writing. Now we're going to find out why. From 1941, this is Here Comes Mr. Jordan. Columbia. Columbia Pictures presents Here Comes Mr. Jordan. Starring Robert Montgomery, Claude Rains, Evelyn Keyes. With Rita Johnson, Edward Everett Horton, James Gleason, John Emery, Donald McBride, Don Costello. Screenplay by Sidney Buckman, Seton I. Miller. From the play Heaven Can Wait by Harry Siegel. Director of photography, Joseph Walker. Art direction, Lionel Banks. Musical director, M.W. Stoloff. Produced by Everett Riskin. Directed by Alexander Hall. We heard a story the other day from a fellow named Max Corkle. As fantastic a yarn as was ever spun. You'll say it couldn't have happened. Anyway, this one was so fascinating, we thought we would pass it on to you. It begins in Pleasant Valley. A small lake reflects full, elegant trees. Dozens of sheep graze on a gently sloping hill, where all is peace and harmony. A horse and its foal munch grass on the shore of the lake. And love. Two birds sit side by side on a delicate tree branch. And where two men are beating each other's brains out. In an outdoor ring, two boxers spar.
Come on, Joe, get the left to work in.
When Joe is hit, the short man in the corner shrugs.
I told you.
Joe battles back to force his opponent against the ropes.
Charlie, you look at the next world's champion. Isn't he terrific?
Yeah, just slaughter that Murdoch.
Joe gets in one more punch.
Okay, Joe, that's enough.
Come on, Max. Hey.
And goes to his corner.
Only had five rounds. Can't I have a couple more?
You heard me. I said that's enough now. Save some of that for Murdoch.
How do I look, Pop?
Just fair. Not enough speed, and quit calling me Pop.
I'm in the pink, Pop.
With his gloves off, Joe steps out of the ring.
You'll get plenty of training in the next 2 weeks.
He slips a striped robe onto Joe, who removes his headgear.
Break down, Maxie. Who's your favorite fighter?
Stop your clowning. Go and get your rub.
Snap out of it, Max. We're gonna do all right.
Joe carries a saxophone from the ring.
Look, Joe, I've decided to finish training in New York, so we'll break camp right after lunch.
Well, that's great. Then I can fly myself down this afternoon, huh?
Now, listen, Joe, do me a favor, will you, please? Leave that plane of yours up here and take the train down with the rest of the gang. Will you do that?
What can happen to me when I got my lucky sax along?
The way we're set now, we're within 2 weeks of the greatest fight of your life. And on our way to the championship. Why take chances?
Fine thing. Me, known as the Flying Pug. The papers will all say, Flying Pug takes train. Fine thing.
Oh, Joe.
I'll meet you in New York at the gym tomorrow.
And how about the flying?
How about a little of your favorite tune?
Not today.
Max covers his ears.
Oh, no!
And runs off. Later, a small airplane flies through clear skies, piloted by Joe. Holding the control stick, he looks around through his windows. He glances down on the floor beside him. Holding the stick between his knees, he reaches down and picks up the saxophone. The plane flies on under the control of his legs as he plays. Outside the plane, a cable from the fuselage to the tail tightens. As Joe plays on, the cable's fibers start to break. Joe is oblivious to more fibers breaking. The cable snaps completely, sending the plane into a dive. Joe pulls on the control stick, but nothing happens. He tugs desperately as the plane drops straight toward a forest. He ducks. Elsewhere, delicate clouds roll through the heavens. Two figures walk along a misty expanse of cloud. Joe carries his saxophone beside a prim man in a suit.
That's what I said, Mr. Pendleton. You are dead.
You don't make any sense at all. You got me all mixed up.
You must be a little cracked.
I'm fast losing patience with you, sir.
And I can't waste any more time with you. I'm due in New York and I gotta get there. Where can I find a taxi route?
He notices a plane in the distance.
Hey, a plane. That's what I want.
He strides to the plane where people are about to board.
Messenger 3081 reporting, sir.
Five passengers.
Territory?
Southeast Australia.
Proceed.
The messenger reads from a clipboard.
Atwater, John.
The boarding begins.
Gaylor, William.
Zabel, Frederick.
Zabel, that's Z. You're jumping from G to Z. Haven't you anyone between?
Yes, sir.
Well, then call them off alphabetically. You've been at this long enough to know the rules.
Yes, sir. My mistake. Sorry, sir.
Continue.
Heggy, Alicia.
Heggy. Now that's better, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Joe approaches the supervisor.
Hey, when's the next plane for New York? Who do I see about a ticket?
Zabel, Frederick.
Who's in charge around here?
Mr. Pendleton, will you stop this commotion?
Commotion? I'm just trying to find out about a plane.
What's the trouble?
Messenger 7013 reporting, sir. No trouble at all,
sir. There's no trouble yet, but there's going to be plenty if... Are you the boss here?
Mr. Pendleton, a little more respect. This is Mr. Jordan.
Look, Mr. Jordan, I want to get a plane for New York. Who do I see about a ticket?
What is the meaning of this?
Meaning? I just explained it to you.
A very difficult case, sir. Fought me tooth and nail all the way up here.
Fought him. How do you like that? Don't waste your time listening to this comic. He's got a screw loose someplace. You know what he keeps telling me? He keeps telling me I'm dead.
And you most certainly are. Otherwise, I shouldn't have taken you.
You hear that?
I'm afraid you are.
Ah, what?
Dead.
You too, eh? You're just as crazy as...
The distinguished Mr. Jordan gives Joe a level stare, then turns to a new batch of people.
Messenger 2460 reporting. Three passengers, sir.
Territory?
Finland.
Proceed.
Abelius. William. Kaliga. Maria.
Dead.
Pumi. John.
Watching the people board the plane, Joe turns again to Mr. Jordan.
Excuse me, Mr. Jordan, but I don't quite get this. You wouldn't kid me.
Mr. Pendleton.
Well, I mean, are you sure?
Of course.
Yeah, but I feel all right.
Pay no attention to him, sir.
Is he all you gathered?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, sir.
Name?
Pendleton. Joseph.
No, you even got that balled up. It's Joe Pendleton, not Pendleton Joseph.
For heaven's sake, be quiet.
Mr. Jordan steps to another messenger, who hands him his clipboard to look over.
Pendleton.
I can't be on any list.
Quiet, please.
No, the way I feel, somebody's got their wires crossed. Somebody's made a mistake.
A mistake? Utterly fantastic.
What did you do? Your occupation? Oh, musician?
He points at the sax.
No, it's just a hobby. Like flying. I'm Joe Pendleton. The Flying Pug, they call me. You know, Pug. I'm a prize fighter.
You were a prize fighter.
There's no Pendleton Joseph listed.
What did I tell you?
Oh, it can't be possible. There must be some explanation.
I hope there is. For your sake.
He hands back the clipboard.
I'll see if he's on any newer listing.
He's just got to be, sir.
What do you mean, I got to be? If I ain't on any list, I ain't on any list.
Mr. Sloan.
A pilot looks down from the cockpit.
Contact the registrar's office, will you? Ask them for everything they have on Pendleton Joseph.
Yes, sir.
Putting on headphones, Sloan calls on the radio.
Calling registrar's office. Plane number 22 calling registrar's office.
I'm trying to tell you fellas, I'm not ready for this place yet. I never felt better in my life. I'm in the pink. How can I be dead?
Really, sir, it isn't possible that he could have survived. Why, he was hurtling to Earth with the speed of a meteor.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have crashed. I'd have pulled the ship out somehow if you'd let me alone.
Do you mean to say you took him out of that plane before it crashed?
Yeah, that's what he did.
Yes, sir. Oh, I know that we messengers shouldn't permit our emotions to sway us, but there he was, sir, just plummeting earthward. I wanted to spare him the agony of crashing, so...
Unpardonably presumptuous.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just desolate about it, sir.
What territory do you cover?
It's a place called New Jersey. And if it could be arranged, sir, I should like very much to be transferred.
Mr. Jordan steps away. then turns again to 7013.
You're new, aren't you?
I am, yes, sir. It's my first trip. I was put on only this morning.
I thought so. Overzealousness, out for record collections. This happens right along with the inexperienced.
Really?
Oh, dear.
Well, it wasn't in the cards. Nothing can happen to me when I got my lucky sax along.
And how did he manage to wangle that thing up here?
Mr. Jordan, sir.
They look at Sloan.
On Pendleton Joseph, the official record says both his parents are happily withdrawn and awaiting his arrival. Joseph is scheduled to join them the morning of May 11th, 1991.
1991? That's 50 years from now. What did I tell you?
It seems you were a little premature.
50 years to go yet. You certainly pulled a boner this time.
Mr. Pendleton, I feel I owe you an apology.
Well, I tell the world you do. Well, never mind. We all make mistakes. There's no harm done. Just forget about it and take me back.
Take you back?
Naturally, take him back. Return him to the body out of which you so indiscreetly snatched him.
Yeah, and make it snappy. I gotta meet Corkle. He's liable to be worried.
Corkle?
Yeah, he's my manager. I'm training for the Murdoch fight. Gotta keep my body in the pink. Come on, let's go.
Mr. Pendleton, if you don't mind, I'm the one who says let's go.
Glad to meet you, Mr. Jordan. And thanks for straightening everything out for me.
Not at all.
I'll be seeing you 50 years from now, if you're still on the job.
I will be.
So long.
Joe shakes hands with Mr. Jordan, then walks off with 7013. Soon after,
there's the old crate.
They arrive at the wreckage of Joe's plane. Climbing down over rocks and fallen tree trunks, they approach the cockpit of the plane. Joe bends down to look inside and finds his body gone.
Hey! What happened? I'm not here. Where is it? I mean, where am I?
Well, dear me.
They search around.
You ought to be around here somewhere. Well, obviously, your body has been removed.
Yeah, but where to? Where to?
Well, let me see. Perhaps I'd better take you back to Mr. Jordan.
Wait. I know. Corkle, he did it. 10-1, he's got me laying out in my own living room right now, the dope. Let's go.
Mr. Pendleton, I say let's go. Let's go.
They walk away and are soon walking down a city street.
Boy, we sure get around. Zip, we're at the crash. Bam, we're here in New York. How do you do it?
I'm going to ask you not to pry into trade secrets, Mr. Pendleton.
It's okay with me. Here we are. Here's home.
Extra, extra. Read all about it. Joe Pendleton crashes in plane. Read all about it.
That's what he thinks. Hey, kid, give me a paper, will you?
Extra, extra.
Hey, come on. Give me a paper.
Pendleton.
That kid's goofy.
He can't see you and he can't hear you.
What?
He can't see you and he can't hear you.
Why not?
Because you're not in your body. That's simple.
Yeah, but I can see and hear him.
Of course.
Well, okay, what are we waiting for? Come on, let's go.
They stare at each other, then head up the steps to Joe's apartment. Inside.
If I tell him once, Charlie, I tell him 1,000 times. No, he's got to fly. Who am I to tell him? Just his manager. Just the guy that's looking after him.
Hey, Max, be yourself, pal. Look.
Will you please remember, he can't see you and he can't hear you.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, this washes me up. I'm quitting the game, Charlie. I couldn't handle anybody after Joe.
Poor Max. I wish I could tell him. Say, I don't see me around anywhere. Where am I?
Joe walks to his empty bed and looks around with 7013.
Hey, what did they do with me?
That's funny.
What's funny about it?
And what a champ he'd have made. Cleanest kid that ever lived and a heart as big as a house.
Can't you ask him what they did with me?
Fighters gotta live cleaner than anybody else in the world, he used to say. Because a lot of kids look up to fellas like that and try to live like him.
Hey, Max.
Mr. Pendleton.
Cut it out. Where am I?
Come in.
A little boy enters with a bouquet of flowers, trailed by two smaller boys.
Johnny.
Hello, fellas.
Hello, Mr. Corkle. He was a swell guy, Joe was.
He'd beat Murdoch and Gilbert, too.
That's the way I feel about it, Chip.
We brought these. Kind of late, but... Well, you see, we didn't know where that place was. You know, the...
Crematory, yeah.
7013 gapes in shock.
Crematory?
Well, thanks, fellas.
cremated.
Oh, dear me.
So long, Mr. Corkle.
The boys leave.
Max, you dumb clerk.
Control yourself, Mr. Pendleton.
Control myself? Don't you realize? What'll I do now?
Well, offhand,
offhand, I ought to... Come on, we're going back to Mr. Jordan.
Joe leads 7013 out of the apartment. Again, the clouds roll. And again, Joe walks with 7013 across the vast expanse of the heavens. Soon after, Mr. Jordan stands by another plane, listening patiently.
Cremated, that's what I said. While you guys kept me up here, Gavin, that Corkle gets my body out of the plane and has me cremated.
That's bad.
Bad?
Oh, it's deplorable. I'll never forgive myself. I feel just ghastly.
How do you think I feel? Well, I see that Corkle. You can't go around burning me up like that and get away with it.
Very bad. This complicates everything.
I have an idea, Mr. Jordan. Couldn't we have him reborn?
Nothing doing. I'm not going to go through that again.
Oh, no. Well, I see I'll have to take personal charge of this.
Now you're talking, Mr. Jordan. You got to get busy and do something.
I intend to. Come along, Joseph.
Wait a minute. Where to?
I'm taking you back.
Yeah, but you can't. Didn't we just tell you I haven't got a body anymore?
What of it? I'll get you another body.
You'll do what?
Another body?
Well, that's what I said. Come along, Joseph.
No, wait a minute. What kind of a deal is this? You can't go shoving just anybody's body off on me. No, not on your life.
Mr. Pendleton, please. If Mr. Jordan says he'll get you another body, he'll get you another body. Every bit as good as your own, if not better.
There isn't any better. I put in 10 years getting that body in the pink. Just because you guys fumbled the ball is no reason...
Joseph, it's gone. Your body doesn't exist any longer.
But that isn't my fault. You guys can do anything. Go ahead, do your stuff.
We shall, Joseph. You shall have your choice of 1,000 bodies. All excellent specimens.
1,000 bodies? Mr. Pendleton, think of that.
Yeah, I am thinking about it, and I say no dice. I don't want anybody's body. I want my body.
Oh, don't be so fussy. Your body, after all, what is it? Just a physical covering, that's all. Worth chemically 32 cents.
Not mine. It was in the pink, I tell you.
Oh, dear.
Shall we get started?
Now, wait a minute. Let's understand one another before we start running around.
Joseph, I promise you we'll keep looking until we find the body you like. Now, that's fair enough, isn't it?
Well, I don't want any more than it's coming to me. I just want what I was and what I was going to be. No more, no less. But I expect you to make good, Mr. Jordan.
I'll do my best. Come along.
I warn you, you may be just wasting your time.
I have a lot of that.
Goodbye, Mr. Pendleton. Good luck.
That sounds mighty weird coming from you.
Mr. Jordan escorts Joe away. Later, on a city sidewalk, outside a fence which surrounds a mansion, a woman, some children, and a passing policeman watch an organ grinder and his little monkey. Joe and Mr. Jordan walk nearby.
I thought that messenger was pretty good at getting around, but you're terrific. Russia, Australia, South Africa, and now New York. How do you do it? Oh, yeah, I know. Trade secret.
Joe, we've made 130 stops.
We made a raft of them, all right.
Now, I know how you feel about a perfect body, but I've offered you the cream of last week's crop, and you've turned up your nose at the lot.
You know there wasn't a decent physique in the whole bunch, Mr. Jordan. You can't palm off a second rater on me. You got to remember I was in the pink.
That is becoming a most obnoxious color, Joe. Don't mention it again, please.
Okay.
Mr. Jordan approaches the mansion's gate and turns to Joe.
Next stop?
He nods.
A pretty snazzy place. Who do we size up here?
The owner, Bruce Farnsworth.
Now, look here, Mr. Jordan. This isn't just another one of those things, is it?
You'll find this most interesting, Joe. By far the most interesting we've looked into yet.
Okay. I don't want you to think I'm not trying to play ball.
Holding his arm, Mr. Jordan escorts Joe to the front door. And they walk through it into a palatial foyer. Joe gawks at the grand staircase, majestic candelabras, and pillars 20 feet high, which mark the way to a classically decorated living room.
Someplace.
An older man steps in from a study.
Hey, we better duck.
Oh, please stop yanking me around. Can't you remember that we can't be seen?
Or heard?
He walks past them, oblivious.
I keep forgetting. Who is that guy?
Farnsworth Butler.
Oh. What about this guy Farnsworth? What's the dope?
Well, he's about your age and fairly husky.
About my age? And he's got all this?
Well, he inherited it, Joe.
Oh. Well set up?
Quite. Play polo a while back.
Well, that sounds all right. Is he dead?
No.
Gonna die, though.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan sits at a piano.
Sick, huh?
No, not really. He has a slightly rundown condition.
Uh-oh. I get it. Playboy type. Wine, women, and song. Ruins his health. Fine body you want to make me a present of. Guy drinks himself into an early grave.
Oh, no, he didn't.
He just slightly run down. He's going to die, that's all.
He's being murdered, Joe.
Murder?
Is it going on right now?
Yes.
Right here in this house?
Mm-hmm.
Who's doing it?
His wife, and the man she's in love with, Farnsworth's confidential secretary.
Nice people you want me to meet. How are they killing him?
They're drowning him in the bathtub.
As Mr. Jordan glances through some sheet music, Joe looks on, stunned.
Holy cow. Come on, let's scram out of here. I'm going to keep my nose clean. I'm in enough trouble anyway.
Wait, Joe.
Now, look here, Mr. Jordan. You don't think I'm crazy enough to change places with a guy who's got a wife like that hanging around. I ain't punch drunk yet.
We'll have to wait here until I collect him. It's my job.
How can you sit there when there's a guy being killed? Why don't we call the police?
I'm afraid they wouldn't pay much attention to us, Joe.
Yeah, that's right.
Mr. Jordan turns, sensing something.
It's all over, Joe.
You mean he's dead?
Mr. Jordan nods. Turning to the sound of a door, Joe watches two people step out of a room onto a landing above.
Those are the two that did it, huh?
Yes, Mrs. Farnsworth and the secretary, Tony Abbott.
They walk across the landing to the staircase.
Gee, look at her. You wouldn't think she'd...
She pauses on the stairs.
Tony, I'm frightened.
Get hold of yourself, Julia.
She does. And leads Abbott down into the foyer.
Tony, I don't know what's come over me. I have a feeling I can't shake off that there's something weird. Something hanging over us. Watching us.
They step past Joe.
You said it, sister.
Come now, stop it, Julia.
He pours her a drink.
What could be more natural? Glass of warm milk, a sleeping tablet or two, and a very tired, dissipated young man, unfortunately, drowses off in his bath.
I had enough of this. I need some fresh air.
Wait, Joe, don't go yet.
I don't want any more of this mob.
Miss Betty Logan to see Mr. Farnsworth.
Wait, Joe.
I can't talk to her now.
Of course you can. Show her in.
Yes.
It's quite simple. Just be sympathetic. I'll be in the study. If she becomes difficult, bring her in to me.
Abbott walks off.
Who is this Logan? Somebody else mixed up with this murder?
You judge for yourself, Joe.
The butler leads in a pretty young woman.
Miss Logan.
How do you do, Miss Logan? I'm Mrs. Farnsworth.
May I see Mr. Farnsworth, please? I've got to see him.
Why, yes. He'll be right down.
Be right down? She knows he's dead.
Mrs. Farnsworth. My father's been arrested.
Yes, I know. I'm sorry.
He's sick, Mrs. Farnsworth. This will kill him. And he's not guilty of anything.
It was about some worthless securities he sold, wasn't it?
That Mr. Farnsworth sold, under my father's name.
That's a pretty serious charge, isn't it?
I believe my father.
Well, what do you expect Mr. Farnsworth to do?
I don't know. I came here to ask him to... He can't send an innocent man to jail.
Well, I don't know about that. Mr. Abbott has all the facts in the case, and he's in the study. Would you care to see him?
Yes, if I could, please.
Julia takes Miss Logan to the study as Joe watches the visitor, awestruck. Mr. Jordan watches Joe staring after her until she's left the foyer.
Mr. Jordan, I never seen anything as beautiful as that, not even in heaven. She's in a tough spot. Got a lot of courage. Come all the way up here alone to fight for her father.
She worships him.
She's no match for those buzzards. She needs help. She's in trouble. You better go to work.
Farnsworth is the only one who can help her, Joe.
And he's dead.
But you can be Farnsworth.
What do you mean? I don't get it.
It's quite simple.
You mean you want me to be Farnsworth and have a swell girl like that hate me?
But you'd make a very different Farnsworth. Spiritually, there'd be no change in you.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be myself. A guy's no good if he isn't himself.
Joe, you'll always be yourself. You'd merely be using Farnsworth's physical covering, like donning a new overcoat.
That'd be a pretty good overcoat. Gotta last me for 50 years.
But inside that coat, you'd still be Joe Pendleton, thinking and acting and feeling.
Yeah, but that overcoat, that'll be Farnsworth. That's what she'll see. He's a rat. She'll think I'm a rat.
Maybe at first. But eventually, she'd see the soul of Joe Pendleton, because that is never lost. That will always shine through, Joe. No matter what overcoat you put on.
Yeah, but that run-down overcoat, that playboy Farnsworth. I'd have to give up everything. Crack at the title and... No, I couldn't do it, Mr. Jordan. I'd like to help, but not that way.
There's no other way.
You think it's fair to put me in a spot like this?
Joe looks into the study.
This is the evidence against your father, Miss Logan. These stocks were issued by his company. Look at them.
Those stocks were issued while my father was in Europe. He had nothing to do with them. Please let me see Mr. Farnsworth.
Mr. Abbott, have Sisk announce Miss Logan to Mr. Farnsworth.
As Abbott stands, Joe steps back to Mr. Jordan.
What's the idea? She knows he's dead. Why send for him?
Very convenient. Sisk discovering the body. You haven't much time to decide.
Mr. Jordan, I don't want to be Farnsworth.
Miss Logan, you're a stupid child. What would Bruce Farnsworth do for you or anyone? Perhaps you think he'll reach into his pocket and pay out $5 million to redeem those securities. Just to make you happy and get your father out of jail. Why, I'd see you both starving first. And enjoy it.
You hear that?
You want to help her, don't you,
Joe? Sure, I want to help. Only...
Sisk, the butler, approaches the study.
You rang, madam?
Yes. Tell Mr. Farnsworth Miss Logan is here to see him.
Yes, madam.
Walking past Joe, he crosses the foyer to the stairs.
He's going up there.
Howdy, Joe.
Don't rush me. Before I take a step like this, I got to do some figuring.
Make up your mind.
Look, what if I did it? Only temporary. Suppose I was Farnsworth just for a little while, until after I helped that kid out. Could I do that?
If you wish it.
And after you got me out of Farnsworth's body, you'd have to get me a body that would suit me. Is that clear?
Quite clear.
Okay, that's a deal. Come on, Mr. Jordan, we better hurry.
As he watches Sisk across the landing, Joe dematerializes with Mr. Jordan. In the bathroom, Mr. Jordan picks up a robe and holds it up beside the bathtub. He slips it onto Joe, who steps out of the tub. Joe looks down at the BF monogram on the sleeve and touches it. Amazed, he steps toward a full-length mirror on the door and sees himself. Mr. Jordan smiles.
We can't get away with this. I still look like me.
As Sisk steps into an adjoining bedroom, Joe keeps looking in the mirror.
Isn't that Joe Pendleton? Or am I nuts?
Inwardly, you haven't changed. You're still Joe Pendleton. And that's what we'll see. Outwardly, you're Bruce Farnsworth. And that's what they'll see and hear.
Sisk knocks at the door.
Mr. Farnsworth? Are you there?
Answer him, Joe.
Answer him. You mean people can hear me now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I still talk like me. He knows that other guy's voice.
That is exactly what he'll hear.
Mr. Farnsworth!
To everyone else, you'll seem to be talking like Bruce Farnsworth.
Mr. Farnsworth! Is anything wrong? Oh, please answer me, sir.
Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, I'll be out in a minute.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
There. Now, what he heard was the voice of Farnsworth.
It was, eh?
Mm-hmm. And when you open that door, what he'll see will be Farnsworth.
Mr. Farnsworth, there's a Miss Logan here to see you.
Yeah, I know.
Sisk raises his eyebrows.
I beg your pardon, sir?
Well, I'll be right out. I'll be right down. But you're kidding me. I wouldn't fool anybody.
You fool everybody. Open that door.
Approaching it, Joe hesitantly reaches for the door handle. He opens the door and peeks out at Sisk.
I'm sorry to have made such a racket, Mr. Farnsworth, but I thought something had happened to you.
Yeah, well, something did happen.
But it's all right now.
With an encouraging nod from Mr. Jordan, Joe steps out of the bathroom and into the bedroom, where Sisk stands beside a wardrobe valet. Joe looks at Mr. Jordan, who nods again reassuringly.
You sure you're feeling all right, sir?
Yeah.
Joe turns to the door to the landing then gawks back at Sisk.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Logan, I'll go right down.
Mr. Farnsworth, your clothes.
Here, I better put on some clothes.
Will you sit down, sir?
As Joe sits down, Sisk hands him a pair of socks.
He never batted an eye.
Big buttons on?
Remember, people can hear you now.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Forgot what, sir?
Nothing. But they still can't see or hear you, huh?
No.
Who can't see or hear who, sir?
Nobody. I was just thinking.
Yes, sir.
Joe glances back at Mr. Jordan, then smiles. Soon after, in a dressing gown and ascot, he steps out of the bedroom onto the landing and closes the door.
Mr. Farnsworth, he calls me, looking right at me. How do you do it, Mr. Jordan?
If there were no mystery left to explore, life would get rather dull, wouldn't it?
You got an alibi for everything. We can get away with this down there. We're terrific.
You'll get more terrific by the minute, Joe.
Well,
in the study.
Taking pretty long, isn't he? Perhaps he won't come down at all.
Julia.
So why don't you go?
They walk into the foyer.
There's no help for you. Your father's in jail to stay.
When Joe arrives, Abbott stares at him.
Mr. Farnsworth.
Julia turns around and her eyes widen.
Bruce.
Joe approaches the astonished conspirators.
Hello.
Then he turns to Miss Logan.
Hello, Miss Logan. I'm glad to see you.
Mr. Farnsworth, I'd like to speak to you privately.
Yeah, sure. Why not? How about in there?
Miss Logan goes back into the study. Joe keeps watching Julia as he walks past her, then turns to Abbott.
Miss Farnsworth looks a little pale around the gills. She looks like she's gonna... She did.
Stepping into the study, Joe stares carefully at Abbott as he closes the door between them. He approaches Miss Logan.
Well, here we are. Sit down, Miss Logan. We have a little talk.
Mr. Farnsworth, I came here hoping that you'd at least listen to me.
Yeah, sure. Of course, I'll listen.
Sisk enters with a tea tray, and Mr. Jordan follows. Joe turns to Sisk.
What's that?
Your tea, sir.
My tea?
Mr. Yes. Jordan mimes pouring and drinking it.
Oh, yeah. Put it down.
Sisk obeys.
Tea. That's fine.
Sisk leaves.
We have some tea, Miss Logan. What do you say?
No, thanks.
Well, you better have some. You look kind of nervous. Go on, sit down. Everything's going to be all right. How do you like it? Straight?
I don't want any.
All right, all right.
I just want one thing. I want you to get my father out of jail.
Yeah, that's right. He is in jail, isn't he?
As if you didn't know.
Well, I did, but I didn't.
You must know that you put him there.
Well, Farnsworth did. I mean, you see, I'm not... Well, you know how it goes. For instance, if you want to change overcoats...
This is hardly the time for jokes.
I'm not joking, Miss Logan.
Then admit it. You did put my father in jail.
All right, I did. But I didn't have anything to do with it. I could explain it to you.
Mr. Jordan sympathetically shakes his head at him.
But you just think I was balmy.
I don't understand a word you're saying.
I was afraid of that. Will you sit down, Miss Logan?
You're just trying to put me off. You're trying to make a fool out of me. You think you can laugh me out of it as if I were a child.
Look, your father's going to be all right, Miss Logan.
Another Farnsworth trick. They told me it was no use coming here to talk to you.
Oh, now listen.
I knew you were cruel, but to play with people like this and torture them...
Look, Miss Logan.
She leaves.
I promise you, I'll get your father out.
Joe.
At the study door, he turns to Mr. Jordan, defeated.
That was great. Certainly fixed that up. She likes me a lot.
She will in time.
I'm poison to her. It won't work. No use wasting any time inside of Farnsworth. You better get me out of this overcoat and let's get moving, Mr. Jordan.
She is wonderful, though, isn't she?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd give my right arm if I could help her.
You promised you would, didn't you? You can't very well move on until you've made good.
Yeah, but there's no use. I don't even know what to do.
Bruce Farnsworth can do anything he wishes. I'll have to be leaving you now, Joe.
He goes to the foyer.
What?
My work's piling up. I have to get back.
But you can't leave me holding a bag, not when I'm in a mess like this. I don't know anything about stocks and finance.
Finance is merely a matter of the heart being in the right place, so you'll be surprised how easily it will all come to.
Yeah, but couldn't you stick around for just a little while, just till I get the hang of things?
I'll be back whenever you need me, Joe.
Yeah, but wait.
Joe dodges Sisk to keep following Mr. Jordan. But he's gone.
Mr. Jordan. Pardon, sir?
Joe turns to Sisk, who's holding the saxophone.
Mr. Jordan.
Giving up, he approaches the butler.
Where'd you get that? From your bathroom, sir. I can't imagine how it got there.
Yeah, I put it there.
He takes it.
You put it there, sir? Hmm.
And admires it.
Hmm. No wonder I wasn't getting the breaks. Didn't have my lucky sax along.
Pardon me, sir, but I never saw that before.
That's it? Tell that, what's his name to come down here, will you?
Who, sir?
You know, that secretary.
Mr. Abbott?
Yeah, Abbott, that's it. Get him down here right away, will you?
Yes, sir.
Sisk walks off.
Knew I'd start clicking with you around.
Upstairs, Abbott rouses Julia with smelling salts.
No, I'm fine now.
She sits up.
Gave me cold chills, Tony. How can he still be alive?
I was certain he was dead. I held him under long enough. To see him walk into that room grinning like a hyena.
It's creepy. Do you think he knows what we tried to do?
Impossible. He was asleep.
They turn to the door.
Come in.
Sisk enters.
Pardon me. Mr. Farnsworth would like to see you immediately, Mr. Abbott.
Glancing at Julia, he stands.
Very well.
What's that?
A saxophone, madam.
Well, who's playing it?
Mr. Farnsworth.
Julia stands.
But he doesn't know how to play a saxophone.
He evidently does, madam. It was in his bathroom, and he put it there.
I'd better go right down.
Abbott steps out onto the landing and looks over the railing into the living room, where Joe paces, playing the saxophone. Abbott glances at Sisk and hurries down the stairs. As Joe keeps playing, Abbott steps down into the foyer and approaches the living room.
You sent for me, Mr. Farnsworth?
Yeah. What are you looking at?
I didn't know you played a saxophone.
Yeah, well, a lot of people don't know it. Even if they see me playing it, they don't know it. You get used to it after a while.
Are you sure you feel quite well, Mr. Farnsworth?
Yeah, I feel fine. And I'm going to stay that way.
Why, of course.
Joe steps away from him with a cautious glance.
Now, let's get down to business. I got something kind of important on my mind.
Oh, I have a memo from Gibbons, sir. He thinks we should buy 10 million bushels of July wheat.
Oh. Oh, he does he?
Immediately.
10 million bushels of wheat. Where we put it?
I have your little joke, sir, but surely we can't ignore...
Well, never mind about that. I'm only interested in one thing, that's this Logan business. I've been talking it over with a friend of mine.
You mean J.B., of course.
No, just J. Doesn't sound so good. I want to get it straightened out. I want to get Mr. Logan out of jail.
The fraud pinned on him like this?
Pinned? Well, who pinned it on him?
Well, naturally.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So let's unpin it. Anything, only get him out.
Mr. Farnsworth, you realize this places the entire responsibility on your shoulders. You'll have to buy back every share of that worthless stock, and that's impossible.
Well, who's got it?
Well, naturally, small investors all over the country.
Small investors, eh? That's nice work. Buy it back from them. Give them back every cent they paid for it.
That'll take millions of dollars.
Have I got it?
Oh, really, sir?
Have I?
Many times that amount.
All right, let's do it.
Don't you feel you ought to think this over first?
I've thought it over. And get this, you and I are going to tangle plenty from now on if you don't watch your step. So don't try any funny business. And stay out of my bathroom. Get going, Mr. Rabbit.
He complies. Later, newspapers come out with the headline, Farnsworth clears Logan in securities swindle. Vendors hawk another edition with the headline, Logan released, vindicated of securities fraud. Another headline, Bruce Farnsworth to pay back investors. Stockholders and reporters pack the Farnsworth office lobby. Abbott enters with Joe.
practically a stampede.
Hold it, Mr. Farnsworth.
Joe pauses for photographers. Then he's led by Abbott into the front office.
Mr. Farnsworth, have you any further statement to make on the Logan securities?
Nothing now, gentlemen. Mr. Farnsworth is late for his board of directors meeting.
That'll be a hot session.
Please.
Joe and Abbott stride past a bank of desks and turn past a family down a hall.
Good morning, Mr. Farnsworth.
Then they enter another front office.
Good morning, Mr. Farnsworth.
Good morning, Mr. Farnsworth.
Good morning, Mr. Farnsworth.
And into Farnsworth's own large office, where a man pins a fresh flower to Joe's lapel, and a woman hands him some mail while taking his hat.
We'd better go right into the board meeting, sir.
With files in hand, Abbott walks to another door and opens it for Joe, who walks through it with Abbott and pauses in another hall.
All right, Mr. Farnsworth.
Abbott opens another door, and they walk into the boardroom, met by more than a dozen very somber-looking men. Taking the files to the head of a long table, Abbott sets them down and pulls out the chair for Joe. Joe sits.
Bruce.
And the board members converge.
Yeah?
Do you realize what you've done?
Oh, you mean the Logan business?
What's come over you?
Well, he was innocent, wasn't he?
So you had to go and confess your sins publicly. Because that's what people will read between the lines. You had to go and make a clean breast of everything before the whole world.
Well, it seemed like a simple way.
Not simple, insane. You are head of Farnsworth Limited. If you have private sins, don't make amends in a way that brings suspicion on this company and every member of this board. And that's what you've done. Look, by this one idiotic gesture of yours...
He opens a newspaper.
The panic is on in Farnsworth Limited.
The stock has gone down 20 points overnight.
Look.
Wait.
Joe stands, spotting a sports headline. K.O. Murdoch may get crack at Gilbert's title.
They can't do this to me. They can't brush me off and give Murdoch the nod.
He walks off.
What is it?
Nothing. Leave me alone.
Joe hurries out of the boardroom with the paper and crosses the hall back to Farnsworth's office.
Can't do this to me. This is my fight. Mr. Jordan. Mr. Jordan, where are you?
Here I am, Joe.
He appears with 7013.
How do you do, Mr. Pendleton?
Mr. Jordan, you're just the man I needed. Look at this.
I told you I'd be here if you needed me.
And I need you plenty. They're trying to dish me out of the title. Murdoch has got to fight me first. After that, the winner gets a crack at Gilbert. This is what comes of fooling around with this temporary Farnsworth business. Look at the spot I'm in now.
You're in no spot whatsoever, Mr. Pendleton.
Why don't you keep out of this?
Oh, indeed?
Yes, indeed.
I know perfectly well that you were to have another body.
And what have you done about it?
Just scoured the world for it, that's all. Worn myself to the bone, that's all. And I may say I found it. Now, what do you think of that?
You could... What have you found?
A superb specimen, a strapping fellow in Australia who'll soon be available, a motor accident.
What's his weight?
192 pounds.
That's good. What's his reach?
78 inches.
Not bad. Waist, chest, and forearm.
Great heavens, what difference does that make? He's got a waist and a chest and a forearm. What more do you want?
I want to know. That's what I want. While you're fumbling around, the championship's getting away from me.
Now, it won't get very far. We have found out that you are actually intended to be the next world's champion.
Is that a fact?
Yes, Joe.
How do you know?
Nothing can prevent it.
I knew it. I told you nothing could stop me. Well, what are we waiting for? Let's take a look at this Australian fella.
Whenever you're ready, Mr. Pendleton.
I'm ready right now. Look, Mr. Jordan, I got this Logan business polished off. I did my part of the bargain, didn't I?
Yes, you did, Joe.
All right, come on, let's go.
Just as you say.
Joe steps to the door and gets his hat. As he opens the door, a secretary enters.
Oh, excuse me, sir. I thought you were at the meeting.
No, I'm through with the meeting. I'm through with all that. I'm getting out of here.
Then you don't want to see Miss Logan?
Who?
Miss Logan, she's waiting.
Sure. Send her in.
Is this delay necessary, sir?
And very interesting.
Joe stands nervously. The secretary ushers Miss Logan inside.
Hello, Miss Logan.
The secretary leaves.
My father's home. Thank you.
Well, that's fine. Won't you sit down?
It was a wonderful thing you did. Not only for my father, I mean, to give that money back to all those people.
Well, as a matter of fact, that was about the only thing to do, wasn't it?
I'm sorry I keep on staring at you like this.
Well, that's okay. I'm doing a little staring myself.
I'm all mixed up. When I went to see you, I expected so little. I'd made up my mind about you, and I was terribly rude. I always thought I'd be afraid of you. Something happened. You were so different. Strangely enough, when I was trying to hate you most, I couldn't deny there was something warm and friendly, even gentle, in the way you smiled.
There was, eh?
In fact, I didn't come here so much to thank you as to... because I had to see you again.
Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. You gotta sit down now.
How long does this drivel go on?
A little patience.
He gestures for 7013 to sit, while Miss Logan sits.
You know what I told my father this was? A miracle.
A miracle? Why?
Well, that a man like Bruce Farnsworth could actually think the way I was brought up to think, about people. That he could have a real feeling for the happiness of others.
Well, that's as good a way to go through life as any other, isn't it?
Yes, that's all I meant. Except when you find that in somebody, it's a great discovery. I guess that's why I keep staring. I can't help it. I suddenly feel so warm and alive and happy.
She stands facing him.
It's something in your eyes. And what's behind them that I keep trying to see. That sounds silly, doesn't it?
No.
I must go.
No, wait.
Great grief.
7013 drops back into his chair.
I know what you mean. When you make a discovery like that, it's pretty important, isn't it? More important than what two people look like or who they are or anything else.
Of course.
And even if she was a... well, and he could be... wouldn't make any difference what he was. The other thing is all that matters.
That's how it ought to be. Goodbye.
She heads for the door.
Wait.
Then stops.
Will I see you again?
Yes, of course. Goodbye.
Miss Logan leaves the office.
Thank goodness.
7013 stands with Mr. Jordan.
Mr. Pendleton, your time may not be valuable.
Mr. Jordan, did you hear what she said? She was looking at me, Joe. She likes me.
Really, sir, we have to get moving.
Yeah, you said she would. You said just give her time.
Yes, I did. Ready, Joe?
What do you mean? Oh. Yeah, that Australian guy.
If you recall, yes.
Well, wait a minute. I can't do that now.
Why not?
But don't you see, Mr. Jordan, she likes me the way I am. If I go running off to Australia and pull a switch just when I get her used to this Farnsworth, I might lose her. I don't want to take a chance on that. Don't you see what I mean?
Yes.
Look, Mr. Jordan, this Farnsworth was about my age. He had a pretty good body. Once you said he played polo, why couldn't I build him up physically like I did me?
Why not?
Yeah. Exercise, plain food, plenty of fresh air.
I'm sure you'd do wonders with it.
Yeah, with my knowledge of fighting, sure I would. I could get that body in the pink in no time at all and lick Murdoch with it. Then I got the title and I got her too.
Mr. Pendleton, is this final?
You bet it's final. I'm going to stay like I am. Here's Farnsworth.
If you really are, Joe, you've got a lot of work to do, so you better get started.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Jordan.
Getting his hat from the desk.
So long.
He turns to 7013.
Goodbye, you. I won't have to see you again.
Thank goodness. Ditto.
Joe leaves the office.
Well, that's off my hands. In a case like this, you can never be sure. Oh, dear.
Indeed, no one's work is done yet with Joe. Find out how it turns out. Hint, not as expected. Next time on Movies for the Blind. If you're one of those beautiful people who downloaded the very first episode of this podcast, no doubt you recognize the star of that first episode, Edward Everett Horton, as that hapless messenger 7013. If you didn't, episode one and all the rest are on the blog, moviesfortheblind.com, where you can also find information and links on the movies, on description, how to subscribe, and on our Creative Commons license. This movie and others were obtained from the Internet Archive, which is also the host for this podcast, so please support universal access to human knowledge by visiting and donating at www.archive.org. Thank you so much for downloading and for listening. Be back next week. Take care.